Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Psachim Daf Lamed. We are around 10 lines from the top of the Amid at those two dots. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav, Kedeirois, Pesach Yishavru. The pots, come Pesach, need to be broken because these pots had absorbed chametz within them. We have chametz residue in the walls of the kli. And Rav, as we learned yesterday, holds that even chametz after Pesach is asur b'hana, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a pasuk that chametz after Pesach is asur. Therefore, says Rav, there's nothing to do with these pots after Pesach because they have absorbed chametz before Pesach. So come Pesach, just break them. There's really no function, no use for these kelim, because the chametz embedded within the walls of the kli will become absorbed within the dish, within the food that you're going to be cooking in this pot. It's going to be a taroivis of the iser, the chametz after Pesach, which is aser, in this food cooked within, which is heter. And Rav holds that even a mashu, even just a minute amount of this chametz l'achar Pesach has the ability to make the taroivis, the mixture aser. Therefore, Amarav, kederis, v'pesach yishaveru, kam Pesach, is kederis, these pots. The Gemara soon will say we're speaking about klei cheres, earthenware kelim, in which case you can't just flush out the flavor, you can't do hagola, put it into a boiling hot water, you can't do that when it comes to klei cheres, as we're going to see in the upcoming sugya. So there's no choice but to go and break them, destroy them. Says the Gemara Vamai, why does he have to resort to that? You're right. The chametz embedded within the walls of the kli, this residue is going to be asur after Pesach. But even according to Rav, the iser of chametz l'achar Pesach b'mashu, the fact that even just a small amount of that chametz could be iser the entire mixture, entire tarevis, is only when it is mixing with something that is the same type of food, b'minoi. But if it's shaloi b'minoi, if it's a different type of food, when we have those contrasting flavors, the flavor of heter contrasting and opposing the flavor and the time of the chametz, then the chametz doesn't have the ability to make it aser if it's only just a drop. You know, in this case, where we only have the absorbed flavor within the walls of the kli, it's just a mashu. So if it's in something that's a different min, a different type of food, then just a mashu doesn't have the ability to make iser. You have to have much more than that. You have to have noisin tam. It has to be enough to actually give off flavor, which doesn't exist in this case. We're assuming that the actual chametz embedded in the wall of the kli is not significant, because even if you cook some chametz within it, just the chametz portion is just a small amount of the entire dish. So we're assuming just a little bit there. So why do you have to go break these pots? V'amai lishinu achar Pesach. Hold on to them till after Pesach. V'la'avad b'hu shalei b'minan. And cook within these kelim, these klei chametz, something which is a different variety, a different type, a different flavor than the chametz embedded within the wall of the kli. In which case, the chametz, even if it gets flushed into the food, won't have enough to make it aser. So why do you have to break them? Even according to Rav, there's an etzah. Just leave them until after Pesach. And as the Magen Avraham says, although there's some chametz residue embedded within the walls, there's no bal yiro or bal yimatz on them, because it's not something tangible, it's not mamashes, it's not be'en. Therefore, there's no bal yiro for just holding on to flavor of chametz. So just hold on to the pots and use it after Pesach by cooking a different type of food, a different flavor, a different variety, other than the chametz, which is embedded in the wall of the kli, so it's min b'she'ini minoy, in which case it won't make it asr if it's just a mashu chametz. Says, well, we can't do that. Why? Gzeira dilma asu lemebet behu b'minoi. There's a concern that if we allow him to use it for shiloi b'minoi, this can lead him to use the pot for minoi, something of the same variety, the same type as the chametz itself, in which case it would make it asur. If we're concerned, and you have to go and break those pots. And Tosis points out, although earlier, when it came to the actual chametz itself, the taroivis chametz, we don't seem to have this concern. Rav himself said that if the chametz after Pesach got mixed into a davar shel heter, it doesn't make it aser if it's just a mashu. Why don't we say, well, if we're going to allow by shalei b'minoi, perhaps we're going to do the same by minoi, where it's a mashu. Why does Rav say that if the chametz gets mixed in shalei b'minoi, it's mutter if it's just a little bit? Why are we concerned that this might happen with minoi? In which case it would be aser. So apparently we don't have this gzera when it comes to the actual food itself. Rather, says Tosfos, this applies specifically to a pot. When it comes to food, it's not shchiach. It's not common. It's not likely that chametz will mix it with other food. When it comes to the pot, it's something that's going to be used on a regular basis. He's going to take this pot, which has the chametz, and use it for this and use it for that. Perhaps we allow it to be used for shalei b'minoi, which is mutter. Next time he's going to use it for minoi, in which case it will be aser. Therefore, we apply this gzera, and Rav says kederus v'pesach yishaberu, they should be broken, because there's really no use for them. Ushmul amar lo yishaberu, there's no reason to break them. Aval mashu lachar pesach lachas manai, just leave them over till after the zman, after pesach. Va'avid behu, and you can use them for anything. Bein b'minoi, bein shalei b'minoi, whether you're cooking the same type of food as the chametz embedded within the walls of the kli, or shalei b'minoi. Why? Why Shmuel allow? Because Shmuel is l'shitasei. We learned this yesterday. He holds that chametz l'achar pesach is only usher if it is intact. He's following Reb Shimon that the chametz l'achar pesach l'im d'rabbanon, and it's only if it's be'en, but if it's mixed into something else, certainly in this case it's just a flavor, a residue embedded within the walls of a kli, there's no concern if it gets mixed into a heter, it will be mutter. Therefore, according to Shmuel, no need to break the kelim, hold on to them, and use them after Pesach for anything you wish. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Smack in the middle of the Amar here, Amar Rav. You have it? Amar Rav. Kederos b'Pesach yishaberu. Explains Rashi. Why is Rav instruct them to break the kelim? Rav l'tameh, because Rav is in line with his shita, d'amar chometz af l'chazmanai, osur b'hanok Rabbi Yehuda, even after Pesach, it's osur b'hanok, like Rabbi Yehuda, it's minat Torah, v'islei b'mashu, and even just a drop of chometz that gets mixed into a heter, would be osur. That's number one. And number two, because sava, Rav holds, noisein tam lefgam osur. And here's a chiddush. This flavor, embedded, this taste embedded in the doifnei hakli, in the wall of the kli, is something which already expired. It's been here for a while. We're speaking after Pesach. It's already 7 full days that have passed since the kli absorbed this fresh flavor. It's now stale. It's now spoiled. And when it's going to impart flavor, it's going to enter the food which is being cooked in this pot. It's a nois and tam lifgam. It works to the detriment of the food within. It's going to downgrade it, spoil it somewhat. It's a stale flavor. And Rav will hold, no, even this type of flavor can make it awesome. That's a chiddush. Says Rashi, in fact, the halacha doesn't follow Rav Shita, v'les hilchasak of same trei tami, on two accounts. Why? Number one, Chada de'uki Rav Hilchasa, Rav already established earlier, this was yesterday, that the halacha is Taroives l'achazmani mutter krab shimen. Any chametz after Pesach that got mixed into heter is mutter, because if it's not intact, there's no iser. Since it's only midrabbanan, yeah, the actual chametz on which a person was over bal yiro bal yimotza, there's a gzer, but once it's mixed in, it's batel b'roiv, we don't reckon with it. Says Rashi, v'hai poches mitaroivesu. He was speaking about less, even less than a mixture, because there's nothing really tangible mixing into the heter. It's just some type of residue, some type of flavor, which is being flushed out of the walls of the kli into the food. So it's regarded even with less prominence than a real mixture. So certainly in this case, says Rav, according to Rav Shimon, will be mutter, and that's the halach. Number one. Number two, we're speaking about a spoiled taste, a stale taste. V'oy de kaimalan, we know for a fact, Noisin tam lefkam mutter. V'zeh mishu avro l'vimeh Pesach. Once Pesach passes, hufag tam b'defin ha'kli. The tam has been spoiled, it's already expired in the walls of the kli. So this is a tam which is lefkam and would be mutter in any case. So Rashi explains that the halacha doesn't follow Rav's chumra on two accounts. Number one, since it's tavrevis. Number two, it's a spoiled taste. In any case, Rav says you have to break the kelim, and the Gemara says why? But okay, even according to Rav, that a mashu is, he said a tarevis, a noisim skam is aser. But that only applies if it's minoy, right? If a drop of chametz falls into something which is the same type of food, then it's aser. But if it's shleib minoy, then just a mashu is not sufficient. So why can't he use this kelim of liavet bu shleib minoy? Just use it for shleib minoy. The maid Rav le'el the chametz shleib is minoy. Shleib minoy be mashu mutar. Rav agrees that chametz after Pesach, if it's shleib minoy, it needs to have enough to impart proper flavor to be nice and tough. Just a mashu is nothing. Vay mashu chashav, this is just a mashu. The response is exer. Shmuel disagrees. He says, leave the kelim for after Pesach and use it in any manner which you see fit, because chametz achar Pesach is not so stringent. Any type of tarevus would be mutter. Now, Tosfos says akasha. We know that lechatchila, ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. One can't take iser and be mevatlin, nullify it initially. Some say it's iser midrabbana, some say it's even iser midrais. Second, the Gemara suggests that you go and you take the kelim which have chametz and use it after Pesach and be mevatlin the iser. Ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. Says Tosfos, yeah, that's lechatchila. Here it's b'diavad, because if you don't allow this type of use, then this kli is gone. You have to break it. It's useless. You're going to be mafsid the kli. So this is a scenario of a v'di'evid. It's after the fact. Therefore, we allow it to be used in this manner to salvage the use of the kli. Okay, continues the Gemara. So Shmuel disagreed. He said you can hold on to the kelim and use them after Pesach. Va'azda Shmuel tamei. Apparently Shmuel is in line with his shita. The Amar Shmuel lahanu. The Mazbini Kandi. Shmuel instructed these Kandi merchants, those who would sell the pots. He says, look, don't hike your prices after Pesach due to the high demand. Ashvuzvini Akandichi. Keep your prices reasonable on your pots. Akandichi. V'ilai, because if you're going to be engaged in price gouging, v'imloi, darishna lachu. I will announce to you, I will make a public announcement in accordance with Shita's Reb Shimon, meaning Reb Shimon says Tarevus after Pesach is mutter. So nobody has to go buy new pots. I can just use their old pots. So be careful. Keep your prices down. Says the Gemara, V'lidishlu. So why didn't he go about and do that? Why was he waiting? He was just using it as a warning, as a card. Why didn't he actually go ahead and just announce it publicly? Look, Rabbi Yisrael, there's no need to break your pots. A tarevus after Pesach is mutter. To Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon's really, because Shmuel himself certainly holds like Rabbi Shimon. Asrei de Rav Hava, it was Rav's area, Rav's community, and it wasn't respectful for Shmuel to negate Rav. So he hesitated to go ahead and promote this shita. However, he used it as a warning, as a leverage against the merchants. He said, look, if you're going to go and hike your prices unreasonably, I'm going to go and announce it for the sake of public benefit. Let them know that they don't have to go ahead and buy these pots. So he hesitated, but he would definitely use this as a last resort. Hahu tanura de tochu beitichu. There was this oven in which they smeared tichya, this fat. So now the oven is fleshig, has tangible fat. Asra Rav Bar Eloi lemichle lerifta. Rav Bar Eloi didn't allow them to eat the bread which was baked in this fleshig oven. Afilu b'milcha l'olam, even with salt forever, meaning even after they heated up, reheated this oven, he maintained that the fat is still embedded somewhat in the walls of this oven, and therefore he wouldn't allow them to take bread baked in this oven and eat it in any manner, even with salt. Needless to say, you can't eat it with milk, because the bread is absorbed with the fat, which is fleishig. But even just to use it with salt, he wouldn't allow. Why? Dilma asri lemichle b'kutcha. Perhaps a person might come to eat this loaf of bread, which has fat absorbed in it, with kutach. Kutach is this milk dip that had milk in it. So this oven couldn't be used for any purpose, for any type of bread, which perhaps might lead a person to eat basa b'chalav. And the chiddush is even after the oven was reheated. That wasn't enough, according to Rabbi Eloi, to flush out the fat with him. Meisvei of a kashmar brice. In loshenas isa b'chalav. It's a similar concept. A person cannot knead a dough with milk to go ahead and make a milchik bread. Vim losh, if he did that, kalapas kula asura. This entire bread is asur. You can't eat it in any manner. Why? We're concerned that it might lead to avera. He might go ahead and take this bread and use it with meat. Therefore, one can't go ahead and form and bake a milchik bread. Kayetzibay, a similar concept. Ein tashna satana ba'alya. One can't go ahead and smear his tanner, his oven, with the alya, the tail of the animal, the fat. Vim tash, if he did so, kol apaskula asura. Any bread baked in this oven is asur. Because there's a concern, once again, that this bread, which has fat in it, and is fleshik, might be used with milchik. Ad shiasik es hatanur. Until he heats up that oven. By doing so, he burns out, he flushes out the fat within, and now the oven is back to normal. So this brice indicates that reheating that tanur cleanses the tanur. Hohu sakat tanur miyashori. Apparently, once the tanur was heated, the tanur is al mutar. And there's a kasha to Rav Bar Eloi, who didn't allow use of this tanur even after it was heated. Tiyufta, this is the refutation to Rav Bar Eloi. Tiyufta. Omli rin arvashi. Nechem yacha de toysav. Rav Bar Eloi. Now after, this shita has been refuted. Which indicates that heating something is sufficient even to a tanner, which the Gemara assumes is referring to the typical oven, a klei cheres, earthenware kli. So we see that even hesek works for klei cheres, right? Even earthenware kli, which is something made of highly absorbed material, as we're going to see in the upcoming Gemara. But hesek, heating up, using fire to heat that up, that burns out the blia and extracts anything in it, whether the fleishik, whether the milchik. So if that's the case, Ravina has a kasha. He says to Rav Ashi, v'chem me'acha de toysef Rav Bar Eloi, once we've refuted Rav, and we've determined that even a tana, which is a klicheres, or presume it's a klicheres, can be cleansed using hesek, heating, fire. If that's the case, amai koma Rav, k'dei rois v'pesach yishaveiro. Why Rav say that those pots, those klecheres, need to be broken up? They can no longer be used after Pesach. We have a simple solution. Just heat them up and flush out, extract the absorbed flavor, the chametz. Amalei, Rav Ashi responded, there's a big difference. Hosam tano shama teches. The brisa, which allows heating to be employed in order to flush out the absorbed residue. Speaking about a tano shama teches, a metallic oven. Something made of metal material, which has the ability to flush out the absorbed residue. Hocha bekder shel cheres. However, Rav was speaking about cheres kelim, which are highly absorbent. And even hesek, even heating them up, is not sufficient to expel the blia within. Vibay seima, another pshat. Hova b'shel cheres. The Brice as well was speaking about cheres. Why does the Brice allow you to heat up the tanner to extract the residue? The oven is generally heated from within. You put the firewood within, you light the fire, so the heat, the level of heat rises to a very high level, to the desired level, which is enough to have a proper effect on the oven material, and burns it out, cleanses it out. However, a pot is generally heated from where? From the outside, from underneath. In which case, the heat gets dispersed, and we don't have that same effect. It's not that same intense, concentrated heat, which will actually affect the klicheres properly and expel and flush out the chametz within. So according to this teretz in the Gemara, even by klicheres, sometimes you can go and expel the tam, the blia, provided you have a proper heat that's going to be applied, for instance, the hesek of a tanner. And as Tosis points out, another example would be putting the klicheres back in the kivshah. back in the kiln in the furnace. In which case, you're rebaking that kli, remaking it, totally burning it out, drying it up. In which case, of course, even by kli cheres, it would work. Again, so the Gemara tells us that even by kli cheres, hesek could work, but provided the hesek, the heating, is taking place within the kli, for example, like in the oven, as opposed to the pots that Rav was speaking about, where the hesek is actually occurring outside of the kli. V'chi tema, perhaps you'll say, Yochanami, likewise by the pots of Rav. Li'avad le'has hasakim b'fnim. Okay, so you have to do the heating from within. Do that. Make the hasaka inside the kli. Fill it up with firewood and light a fire inside the pot and expel the chametz in that manner. Why can't we do that? Why does Rav tell us to break the kli? Chayus alei mishum de pocket. This is a concern that he's going to be concerned about his kli. And instead of doing the fire within, he's going to be concerned perhaps it's going to explode the kli, going to bust the kli. Mishum de pocket, the kli will explode, and instead of doing it inside, he's going to do it on the outside, in which case it's ineffective. Therefore, Rav says there's nothing to do with the pots. Although technically, if you would make a hesek mifnim, it's okay, but there's a gzera that he might not follow instructions. He might avoid heating it up from within. Instead, he'll do it on the outside. He'll think, what's the difference, inside or out? And certainly on the outside, it wouldn't work. Therefore, Rav says, there's no etza but to break those kelim. Says the Gemara, but there is one exception, hilkach. Due to this discussion, we conclude like this. Hai buchya, this kli, which was made from these some type of brick, which was very durable. So although it was a kli cheres, so when the hesek, typical hesek, was done outside, right? It was used to barbecue, so they placed the fire underneath it, and the food within. So the hesek was in the exterior, and therefore it's not enough to go ahead and expel. You can't use this method of outside, of exterior heating, to go ahead and expel the flavor. However, v'imali gumri shaperdom. If he chooses to fill it up with coals, in which case the hesek is actually taking place within the kli, then certainly there's sufficient concentration of heat there. There's intense heat, which will flush out the tam. I'm not concerned that he's going to try to sidestep this procedure. He's going to avoid placing the gecholim b'fnim. As the Mefarshim explained, apparently this buchya is made of very durable material, in which case he won't hesitate to actually light the fire within. So when it comes to this type of kli, is an easy solution. Even when you have chametz tikka buchya, just fill it up with coals and do the hagala, expel the flavor in that manner. Amale Ravina Larvashi, Hani Sakini de Pischa, Heich Yavdinalu. How are we meant to use the knives, the chametz knives on Pesach? How do we go ahead and expel the flavor, flush out the chametz embedded within them? What's the procedure? Omar Leis Ravashi responded, Lididi chadata kavdinan. They make new ones for me. So I have new knives made, fashioned for Pesach. I use brand new ones. Amar leis ravinaton, look, tenach mar de'efshalei. Okay, that takes care of you because you're a wealthy fellow. You can afford making new knives every Pesach. That's a good method for you. Deloy efshalei mai. What about a person who can't? Doesn't have that option available. How does he kasher his knives? Amar lei, so Rav Ashi responded, no, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean actually brand new knives. Anok ein chadato kamin. I meant they're like new, they're renewed. What does that mean? Katayu bitino. We do hagala, we do libun. We take the katayu, their handles, which are wooden handles. Bitina, we cover them with clay to protect them from the fire. And then we take the blade, uparzilayu benura. We take their blades and we burn it. We do libun, embedded in a fire, that burns out the chametz within. That's the first step of the process. V'hadar ma'ilana l'katayu b'reischen. And then we remove the clay from the handles, and we put the ma'ilana l'katayu, we put their handles b'reischen, in boiling hot water, and a kli risha, and sitting on the fire, because the blade, perhaps, came into contact with chametz on fire. And we generally apply the formula, as we're going to see in a minute, called kiboiloi kach poltoi, which means that the heat required to expel, to extract flavor, whether it's isser, whether it's chametz from a utensil, needs to correspond to the same level of heat that was present during the absorption process. So it's tit for tat. Kiboyle, the same heat that was present during the bliya, kachpote, that's the same heat needed to expel the flavor. So for instance, something which was used on fire, to barbecue something on fire, so that chametz was absorbed in the presence of actual fire. So fire is needed to expel that flavor. That's called libun in the Paiskim. So you need libun. Whereas something which only absorbed on a kli rishon, was put into a pot on a sitting on a fire, a boiling pot of hot chametz sitting on the ash, that's only called a kli rishon. So in order to expel that sort of flavor, you have to go find a kli rishon that has water which is mutter, and that water will now expel this flavor because it's the same level of heat that was present during the absorption process. And Rav Ashi required that his sakinim undergo a double phase process. Number one, the blade needed to be cleansed through actual fire, and the handles merely through reisach and hot water, boiling hot water in a kli rishon. Because apparently his handles, which were wood, did not actually absorb chametz on a fire that would get burned. It was only the blades that had that concern. So the blades need to be cleansed through fire, but the handles merely through roishchin, boiling hot water. So the parzelayu benura and the katayu were put into roishchin. However, the Gemara concludes, you don't need to do that. Whether the handle or the blade can simply be cleansed through roishchin, hot water, in a kli rishon, the initial kli of hot water sitting on the flame. As some explain, it has to be perhaps on the flame itself, perhaps off the flame, but the point is it has to be the first kli, not having mixed and poured over into a different kli. So that first kli rishon has the ability to extract the flavor which was embedded through a kli rishon. Now, why does Rav Ashi require fire to be used for the blades? So Taisa says perhaps he was being machmer himself, although al pi halacha it wasn't needed. As the Gemara concluded, all you need is a kli rishon. He required an additional measure, which was the fire. Continues the Gemara. Omar afuna breder vishu. Eitz parer, a mixing spoon, which would mix chametz in the pot on the fire in a kli rishon. So how do you cleanse that? Hey, du hagola, magiloi bereischen. So you are magil, you expel the embedded chametz flavor in the spoon using reischen, boiling hot water, beklirishen from a klirishen. Kasavra, because he holds kiboiloi, the same measure of heat present during the belia of the iser kachpota, that's meant to be applied in order to expel it. It's tit for tat. So since this eitz par was used in hot water and a kli rishon for chametz, that's how it absorbs its flavor. You need to use the same measure to expel the flavor. Boy menei me'amemer, was the Bachas Gurs, me'meremer. So they asked me'meremer the following question. We discussed earlier that kli matchus or kli eitz can undergo the hag'ola process, putting it into a kli rishon in order to expel the flavor. However, when it comes to kli cheres, which is highly absorbent, as we're going to see Rashi, he's going to bring the pasuk, that you must break them. You can't just spill hot water or immerse them in hot water. You need to break them, or as Tosafot says, you have to go and renew it, rebake it, but anything less than that doesn't do. Now what about a kli cheres, which isn't completely cheres? It's glazed with some sort of metallic surface, let's say lead. So the actual surface which is being used, which actually comes into contact with the chametz, is metal. But beneath it you have cheres substance. So how do we treat it? Is it a kli cheres, in which case hagola, the standard hagola process, would work? Or do we treat it like a kli cheres? So they asked Mareimar this question. Hani mani de kunya. These glazed kli cheres, which are plated with lead, mao lishtamushi bu pischa. Can one use them on Pesach? Can one use these things with having undergone the process of Hag'ola? Or do we say, no, since inside there's Cheres, which is highly absorbent, you can't cleanse them properly for Pesach. Now, Yuroika Loitibailach. Green Cheres substance, certainly is no question. Rashi says it has the alum, which is sharp and highly absorbent. Certainly, there's no question the Vade Asiri, certainly they're asa because they're sharp and they suck the flavor coming onto the surface of a kli all the way inside into the cheres. There's no question that they absorb the chametz and they're unusable for Pesach. Kiti boilach, the question will be uchmi v'chivri, black or white material. My, what is the halacha there? Are they absorbent enough to the extent that despite the fact that it's glazed with metal, the flavor goes all the way into the cheres, or do we say the flavor remains on the upper surface, and let's treat them like a kli matches, in which case hagola, the standard hagola procedure works. Now, ve'echad isbu kartufni, when they have these cracks in the surface, certainly there's no question about the asir, they're asir because, once again, the chametz residue seeps into the cracks, all the way into kli cheres, which you can't clean. Kiti boilach deshi, the question will be, when they're smooth and uncracked, my, what is the halach? So the question, once again, is do we treat them like a kli matches, like a metallic kli, in which case you can do hagola, immerse them in hot water, or do we have to reckon with the fact that beneath the surface, below that lead plating, there's cheres, which perhaps absorbed the chametz as well, and you can't go clean it for Pesach. Omar Lei, Sumarema responded, look, chazin aluhu demedaisi, I noticed that they expel liquid. Meaning, when they're used, you can see clearly that on the outer, from the outer side of the kli, from the exterior of the kli, there's some moisture emanating. Alma bali vasiri, apparently. That's the biggest proof that the entire kli is boileya, absorbed from the material within. Otherwise, why is there moisture exuding from the outer surface of the kli? Apparently, the blia, the residue goes through and through, permeates the entire kli, including the cheres portion. If that's the case, they're also, why? And the Bachas Geres, my time, why? What's wrong with a kli cheres? Va'atoira, my time, ha'atoira hi'ida al kli cheres. The Torah testified that a kli cheres is unique. She'ene yoytze midei doifi lo'ilam. It can be separated from its doifi. Doifi is its undesirable residue that's embedded within. Doifi means it's kilkel, it's undesirable. Meaning that anything absorbed in the kli cheres remains there. It's highly absorbent and it's virtually impossible to separate the cheres from the taste, flavor, residue, etc. that's been embedded within. So these kli cheres have chametz within and there's no way to extract, to flush out that chametz. Perhaps let's take a look at Rashi inside. So let's begin 16 lines from the top. Rashi begins with eight par. You have an eight par. Shemagisim be'akadera. This is the mixing spoon. In order to kasher that, you have to go and immerse it in hot water. Why? Kiboyle kach poltu. Kiboyle mitoch klirishon, just as it absorbs through a klirishon. Kach poltu, klirishon, likewise, it's going to expel using a klirishon. And the question asked to Marema was kunya, plumer balaz, v'en shel cheres, v'tvu, v'tuach be'ever. Speaking about klicheres, which are plated with lead. So how do we view it? Is it a kli cheres or is it a kli matches? Now, yuroiki, the green ones, asuyin mekaka shechayv menetzrif alam balaz, the kli cheres that were made using the green material and then plated with the metal, vu'az, it's sharp, vu'bilel oilam, and it's very absorbent. There's no question. Hagasin yuroiki lo tibayel, there's no question. The vade asir is certainly their asa. The mitzafi boli, they absorb Mitzarfi, Tzrif, it's the Tzrif, the alum. It has this material which is very thirsty and sucking material. And certainly the chametz goes all the way into the kli. Likewise, if there are cracks, kartufni, bekoim, there's no question. The question is if they're smooth. And he responded, apparently they absorb because I've seen the medaisi potana mashkim medaifin achitzim, blas tershish. I see that they impart liquid, moisture, they sweat on the outside of the kli. Apparently the chametz flavor, that residue, permeates the entire body of the kli. V'kiva de medaisi vade bali, since they're sweating on the outside, certainly they're boileya. Now once that happens, of course, the rasa boileo bali shuvin impotem, once the kli cheres is boileya, they can no longer expel and flush out the flavor within them. How do I know? Shatoiro Heido Aklicheres. The Torah itself testified regarding Aklicheres. Shekivan Shebola, that once it absorbed, Eino Yoitse Mi Dei Doifi Loilam. It no longer can be separated from its Doifi, from its residue. What's the riot? Says Rashi from the Psukim. Sharei Bikli Eitzim Matreis, because when it comes to wooden Kalim, metal Kalim, the Pasuk says, Kosalach Yishotev, Teribur Eish, Amarek Veshotev, all different types of instructions how to do Hagola. Rinse them, wash them, put them in hot water. Avo Beklicheres Yishaber. When it comes to Klicheres, what does the Torah say? You have to break it. There's no way out. It's deeply absorbed. Therefore, Marema says, when it comes to these Klicheres, these are Chametzik Kalim, there's no way to be Mesakin them for Pesach. Once again, Tosfos points out, of course, if you put it back into the oven, you rebake it and remake it. In that case, certainly it's like a new kli, it's panim chadashis. And of course, we're not discussing that. We're speaking about standard procedures of hagola, immersing in hot water, etc. That won't be effective when it comes to klicheres. Continues the Gemara. If that's the case, that Merema says that these glazed kalim are regarded like klicheres and there's no way to cleanse them of the blia. Umayishno, so why is it different than le'inyan yayin nesach? When it comes to yayin nesach, which is also something which is asa, the dorish maremar, the same maremar, said like this, mani de kunya, these glazed earthenware kalim, bein uchma, whether black, bein chivri, whether they're white, or bein yiraiki, even if they're green. So they used green or white or black cheres material and then was glazed. Shari, they're all mutter. Because we treat them like a kli matches, not like a cheres. So why is it that by chametz he was machm? V'chitemi yayin nesach de rabbanim. Perhaps you'll differentiate between yayin nesach, which is merely osam de rabbanim, chametz de rice, as opposed to chametz, which is minatoyer, and you have to be machmer. So that will be the difference. No, tell me you can't say that. V'hakol de takon rabbanim. Whatever the chachamim established a takana, ge'ei de rice tikkun. It resembled the Raisa guidelines. They wouldn't establish more lenient guidelines when it comes to the Rabbanon. Chacham said that Yayin Nesach is Asr, and Kli absorbed Yayin Nesach is considered to have absorbed something of Isser. So just as when it comes to Chametz, we say, well, these glazed Kalim are treated like Kli Cheres. When it comes to Yayin Nesach, there should be no difference. There's no reason to be makel by the Rabbanon more than the Raisa. Omar Lay, so he responded, I suppose it was Mereimar, he says like this, Zer tashmishoy aydei chamin. There's a big difference. The difference is how the kli was used. When it comes to chametz, the kli was used aydei chamin. It was used with hot. Hot gets absorbed in the kli. And therefore, this kli cheretz, once it's absorbed, it can't let go of the blia. However, by yayin nesach is cold wine. It's not hot material. Zer tashmishoy aydei tzoyin, as opposed to yayin nesach, where the use was silent. It was a cold use, in which case it's not Beleya, the Isser, and there's no concern. Continues the Gemara, on the same topic of Tashmisha B'tzoynin, Omer Rava Barab, Omer Rav Chiya Barash, Yemashmu, Kol HaKelim Shenishtamsha Ben Chametz B'tzoynin. In fact, any Kli which was used for Chametz, but it was Tzoynin, cold use, Mishtamsha Ben Matzah. You can use the same Kli for Matzah, because only heat has the ability to absorb, but when it comes to something only used with cold, there's no concern. Just make sure there's no chametz there, rinse it off, and you're okay. Except for the following thing, chutz min beis sa'ir, except for the container of the sa'ir. Why? Even though it's been only used for cold, hoyel shechimutz kasha, since it has a very strong, potent chimutz, it's highly concentrated chametz, that sa'ir is the sourdough. So the container of that sa'ir absorbs the chametz, even though it was merely used in a cold temperature context. Omer Rav Ashi, I have another example, Ubeis Charoises, the container holding the sharp charoises, which was chametz, Kibeis Or is equated to the Beis Or, Shechmutzei Kasha, because there too, it has the strength, the power, the concentration, the potency of the Beis Or, Shechmutzei Kasha, as we just explained, and therefore the Beis Charoises as well, needs to be cleansed before Pesach. We have to treat as though the chametz was used b'chamin. Amar Rava, Hani Agda de Mechoyz, is another example of these kneading bowls in the town of Mechoyz, that was Rava's town. there as well, Hoylo Tadiri Lemelishbu Chamir, since it is common for them to use it over and over for the kneading of the chametz. Umashu b'chamira. In fact, they leave the chametz in these bowls for a while. So due to the fact that the chametz is very prevalent there, it's an ever-present thing. Kebeis sar shemutzei kasha dami. It is equated to the base sar whose chimutz is potent, strong, and concentrated. And even though, once again, we're speaking about cold use, there is absorption and bliya taking place. So pshita, of course, why would I differentiate between the agna de mechayza and the beis or? In both cases, we have chametz sitting in them. Ma'udatema, perhaps I would think, kivan de revicha, since these bowls are wide and open, shalot ba'avira, they're just aired out due to the wind, the air coming in, that prevents it from being boileh, waters down the concentration of the chametz. Kamash Malon, the Chiddush is, no, even in this case, since it's commonly used on a regular basis for chametz, and they leave it there, the chametz is absorbed within the walls of this kli, and we treat it as though it was beileya through chamen, through hot water. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We began with Rav telling us that those pots need to be broken, and the reason is because there's chametz within them, and there's no use for them after Pesach. Rav holds that chametz after Pesach is also min ha-Torah, and even a yimashu mixed into the tarevis will make it aser. Although you can use it shalei b'mina, in which case a mashu is not sufficient to make it aser, there's a gzera, it might be used for a mina. Now, why can't he go ahead and cleanse the chametz, clean out the bliya from the kli? The Gemara tells us that either because we're speaking about the kederi shacheres, and although when it comes to even a cheres, you can go ahead and cleanse it by filling it up with coals, but we're concerned that a kedera, he's going to try to avoid that. He's going to be afraid about busting his kli. Instead, he'll just resort to heating it up from the outside, which is not sufficient. So practically speaking, we're concerned that this chametz will remain within. Therefore, Rav says, break those kelim. Shmuel disagrees. He says, you can use those kelim after Pesach. Why? Because it's not the end. You're not using the actual chametz, the mamashes of chametz, it's being mixed into heter, tarevis, after Pesach, is mutter, and according to Reb Shimon. We learned about the sugya of kiboylei kach poltei, which is that in order to extract the iser or the chametz flavor embedded within the walls of a kli, you need to employ the same level of heat that was present during the absorption process. Let's go down the line. So we're speaking about clay matches, clay eights, metal kalim, a wooden kalim. Then standard hagola procedure works. So for instance, if a clay was only used for tzoinin, it's cold, then really no hagola is required, except in cases where there is a high concentration of chametz, like the base or the base charesis. But typically, there's no concern if a clay was only used for tzoinin. If a clay was used with hot water, they need to employ the same level of heat, the same type of heat. Like if we're using a klirishon, for instance, that mixing spoon, then you have to immerse it in a klirishon to expel the iser flavor. Or if a kli was used, the iser, using actual fire, in that case, you have to counter fire with fire and do libun on the kli to be mashed the kli. When it comes to kli cheres, and even those mani de kunya, which are those glazed kli cheres, then we have a concern because Torah is made that a kli cheres doesn't really let go too easily of the absorbed flavor. So what do we do with the kli cheres? The Gemara tells us if you do a hesek mibifnim, an interior heating, like in an oven where the fire is within, or if you have that buchya kli, that durable kli, and you fill it with coals, it's okay. It's okay because you're going and you're completely expelling the flavor. But when it comes to kederes, your typical pot, which is meant to be heated on the outside, there's a concern that perhaps he'll avoid filling it with fire. Instead, he'll just resort to an exterior heating process, which is insufficient. And therefore, Rav told us, those kederes of kli cheres cannot be used, must be broken. And so, as he points out, there's actually another method, even by kli cheres, which is the kifshon. Put it back in the furnace, reheat it, rebake it, dry up the entire residue embedded within. That's called panim chadashes. So you have a brand new kli. This is not the old kli. This is reheated, rebaked, remaked. And therefore, even by kli cheres, it is mutter to be used going forward.